Hello and welcome back to the Healthy Sensitive. Oh, I think this is maybe my favorite part of this section as it relates to purpose and meaning. We're keeping on the same thread. So if you've been following and kind of listening to all of the different kind of angles we've been looking at this idea of having meaning and purpose and why it's so important to clarify it, what I'm going to be talking a lot about today is kind of like the strategic questions you can lean on or ask or reflect on for yourself to better understand what your sense of purpose might be. And so I'm just going to kind of go through how you might discern this for yourself or maybe sneak up to it. So one question I always like to ask folks when they're trying to identify, well, what is my purpose? I don't know. Like, what if I don't know? And so many of us don't know. It's not like we come on this planet with a little note, with a little card that says, hey, BT Dubs, you should totally be a blank. And frankly, interestingly enough, do you like how I just said what to, you know, go be a thing as if what we're doing is who we are? I mean, some cultures don't even ask what it is we do for a living because they don't even think it's that interesting. And yet we Americans link our sense of purpose with what we do. Anyway, I digress. So most of us don't come with some set cards. And that's what makes life so flippant interesting, right? Anyway, so if you're trying to get better at clarifying what your sense of purpose is, one thing you might ask is, what problems do you like to help solve? And who do you want to help solve them? Like, answering this question will get you closer to understanding the kind of legacy that you want to leave behind. It also helps you to understand what your capital Y for work might be. Work as in service. And remember, for highly sensitive people, whatever their capital W work is, it doesn't have to be the thing that they made money at doing, by the way. It's just that highly sensitive people seem to need, even more than the average person, for their work to mean something. Again, we're back at meaning and purpose. And so even if you're someone perhaps like Einstein, who was a multi-potentialite, and he worked, lowercase w, at the patent office, but his work, capital W, was developing his theory of relativity. Well, if you have a clear sense of, well, what are the problems that I liked solving? For him, it was physics. He loved solving physics equations and problems. He loved trying to grapple with the mysteries of the universe. That's a pretty cool problem to want to solve. Like, I think, anyway. But what are those for you? Like, what are the problems you really love to solve? And who do you notice that you are just thrilled to help solve them? It also helps to ask questions about, because a lot of times what people like to ask is, well, what are you passionate about? That's lovely. But most of the time, if we knew what we were passionate about, we wouldn't be taking a workshop on how to clarify our purpose. We wouldn't be listening to a podcast episode on it. We wouldn't be looking at workbook pages regarding this topic. We would just know and we would just be doing it. Or maybe if you already do know, you're kind of wondering how to take that information and leverage it into action, then you're in a great place for coaching or, I don't know, like, you know, workshops, you know, deep dive session, like you're in an action mode, which is awesome. But for most of us, we're still trying to puzzle out what our purpose is. And I love this. This is coming from Elizabeth Gilbert, who, when talking about passion, said, you know, sometimes that's a tall order. Maybe don't ask what you're passionate about. Maybe instead start with what you're just curious about. And here's something interesting. So this is coming from Todd Kashdan, who did, you know, PhD. He's a positive psychologist. He wrote a whole book called Curious? Question mark. He wrote, it's the unknown that we live, breathe, and move in all the time, thinking it is the known. If a life can be a series of perpetual surprises, that's the most joyous experience you can have. Curiosity creates possibilities. The need for certainty narrows them. So curiosity, there are lots of benefits. So it can lead us to joyous exploration. It can lead to more stress tolerance, more social curiosity, thrill seeking. So there are benefits to having curiosity. And so it's worth asking ourselves, what is an example of an experience you've had where your curiosity led you down a path that improved your life circumstances? Maybe you didn't think it was a big deal at the time, but it ended up changing the course of your life in a big way in the long run. What are you curious about now? What kinds of topics are intriguing to you? Another question you might ask about is, okay, so I know what I'm curious about. What are you willing to take a risk for? So Brené Brown asked this question. She was kind of a tweak to this idea of that question so many coaches ask. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Which, as a true Texan woman, she says, well, that's a bullshit question, because of course I know I can fail. In fact, I'm very likely to fail. Her question, which is far more interesting, I think, is what would you attempt to do if you knew you could fail, but, well, no, 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 excuse me. What's worth doing even if I do fail is a better question, I guess. So not just what would you do if you knew you could not fail, but what's worth doing even if you're on your butt staring at the sky in utter pain thinking, oh, well, worth it. Would you do it again? Absolutely. It was worth it. So is it worth it to say I love you first? Maybe they don't say it back. Maybe it's excruciating that they don't say it back. But wasn't it worth it to try? Isn't that what daring greatly is all about? So what are you willing to take a risk for? What is something that is so important to you that you're willing to fail for it? What is something that, even if you were to fail, you would get right back up, try again, over and over and over again? Another thing to explore for yourself is asking, what is it that leads you into kind of an expansion and experimentation mindset? So a lot of times when I'm doing my coaching work with someone and they run an experiment, or like they set a goal for themselves, they go out in the world, they try the thing, it doesn't go well, I say, great, that's good data. Like, let's unpack it. Like, in the coaching space, there's no such thing as a wrong. Like, you ran the experiment. Even if you set a goal and you did nothing for that goal, like you just didn't do it at all. Okay, cool. Well, why not? Isn't that an interesting conversation? Like, what happened? So it moves from a place of, oh, things are good or bad, to a place of, well, it's all interesting. It moves from a place of pass or fail to a place of, well, my hypothesis was either proven or disproven, and either way, it was a successful experiment. What is something that puts you in a place of expansion? What topics of conversation pull you in and make you want to dive in deeper? What subjects do you like to read about? What are the areas that you feel at ease with experimenting with because your desire to learn overrides your fear? Another thing to contemplate is this idea of trust. So what do you trust? Trust is about relinquishing the idea that you have to do everything alone or that you need to be in control. It's often seen as being synonymous with faith, but it's more than faith. It's about knowing in your bones that you can get through a thing. It's not necessarily everything will work out. Trust is more like, whatever happens, I will be able to figure it out. So when reflecting on this idea of trust, maybe start with describing an example of an experience you've had with the concept of trust. Perhaps there was someone in your life that you trusted and that person came through. Or perhaps you trusted in yourself and you found you were, in fact, able to navigate a difficult situation. What is a positive experience you have had with trust? And a really creative exercise you might try, this is something, so you might, I reference Elizabeth Gilbert a lot, but I think she's in my headspace right now because she's recently launched this exercise or this practice of writing to love. So each day she wakes up in the morning and she writes, "Dear love, what would you have me know today?" And in her own hand, something writes back. And that thing is her, but maybe not her. And it feels bigger than her. And it feels wildly more interested, curious, expansive, and much less fearful. It doesn't know how to be afraid. It's too busy being delighted. So for her, writing to dear love was helpful. But when I was talking to a friend, I said, well, would you be able to write to love? And she said, no, that just doesn't really resonate. So I asked, okay, well, what is a feeling you want to have more of? And she said, ooh, I want to have that feeling of like secure, but adventurous. Like, I know I've got this, but I'm also doing something kind of exciting. Like, okay, well, who would be maybe an archetype for that? And she gave an example of like a character that came to mind for her. And I said, okay, write to that person. So from, you know, think of someone you would love to write to that you trust in so much as you trust them in this area. Or maybe it's just that you really admire them. Or maybe you can make something up. You can write to God if you want to write to God. Like, just write to something that feels like in your bones is the knowingness. Like, it's going to give you useful information. And ask it, what would you have me know about this idea of purpose? It's a kind of a cool exercise, right? Anyway, another question you might pose is this idea of, like, invigorate. What is it that invigorates you? So think about, what are examples of activities that when you engage in them, you walk away feeling more energized and alive? What are the kinds of experiences that even when you are tired and cranky, you would still want to engage in this particular thing? You might even also think about conversations you've had. So as a sensitive introvert like myself, there are times when I just feel like I'm at max capacity with conversation. And then all of a sudden, someone will raise an issue, a topic, something that I get really excited about. And I go, oh, and I'm leaning in. And I thought I was maxed out, but suddenly I'm fully charged up and ready to keep the conversation going again. What are those conversations for you? I notice this comes up a lot with my clients. They'll say, I thought that I was maxed out, but then ... So what are examples of things that energize you? Perhaps they could be certain topics of conversation or activities. What is it that makes you come alive? This is now getting inspired by Howard Thurman's concept, where he said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is more people who have come alive. Period. Full stop. So this is your opportunity to ask yourself, what is it that makes you come alive? That is going to give you a very helpful clue to what your sense of purpose is. Next, vision. Vision is not just a picture of what could be. It's an appeal to our better selves, a call to become something more. So when thinking about your purpose, maybe contemplate, what is it that when you fantasize about a future that would feel exciting, it would feel like, wow, that would be the best case scenario. In that vision, how are you spending your time in the world? Who are you spending your time with? Like, where are you? What's going on in that world? If you can create a vision for yourself for the sweet life, that might be a really helpful clue into, ooh, maybe that's what I should be doing or working toward. Your purpose doesn't necessarily have to be about someone else. It can be about creating joy for you. And finally, we reach this idea of, like, equanimity. So equanimity is calamity's medicine. Publilius Cyrus, something or other. That's not my quote. That's his or her. I don't even know who Publilius is. But evidently this person said that equanimity is calamity's medicine. And I really liked the quote, and you're now getting it fed. Anyway, okay. So what is equanimity? Equanimity is that state where no matter what comes, it's sort of like, it's all okay. It's even okay when it's not okay. It's okay when you're in pain. It's like, yeah, I don't love it, but it's okay that it's not okay. It's not, no, it's fine. It's fine. No, it's not fine. So this is maybe how you might have felt when you were at a funeral and someone that you love was lost and you were very sad. And someone said, are you okay? And you might have said, well, no, but it's okay that I'm not okay. I'm devastated. I've lost someone that I love, and I don't want anyone to make me feel better about it right now. That's what equanimity. So contemplate for yourself, like, what helps you stay in a state of equanimity in the midst of adversity? What are practices that help you with that? What are frames that help you with that? Because the things that help you reach that place of equanimity are likely linked with something meaningful to you. That having been said, kind of flipping this almost flips the script. On the flip side, pleasure. Instead of it just being about always, like, it's okay that it's not okay. Sometimes it's about what gives us a sense of pleasure. Happiness is unrepentant pleasure, says Socrates. So what are examples of things that when you take the time for it, you can lose yourself in it? This is also kind of linked with flow. What are the things that you do for the sheer joy of it? Perhaps there is something that when you take the time for it, you almost feel a teensy bit selfish. What makes you come alive, once again, for no other reason than that it is pleasing to you? If you ponder this question, you know, it might not tell you what your purpose is, but it might give you a hint. Because often the thing that our purpose is linked with is not necessarily something that causes us pain. It might simply be that the thing we care about also happens to create pleasure for us. Which actually brings me into kind of going back to this idea of a spiritual practice. Because spirituality is often linked with our sense of purpose. And as an example of this, in the study of blue zones, a lot of times it was discovered that people who were part of faith-based communities lived longer and were happier. And part of the reason is because these faith-based communities provided a sense of meaning and purpose. It was kind of built into the system. But it doesn't have to be faith-based. Like, it doesn't have to be a religion. Sometimes it can be a practice that you've maybe cultivated, a practice of meditation, a practice of something that puts you in a place that increases your capacity. This might be, because often what we do as it relates to pleasure, is that this kind of going back to when I was talking about pleasure, you want to be careful with it because we can get a little addicted to it. We can get so excited by being pleased that suddenly instead of it being a genuine source of pleasure, it becomes a compulsion. But having some kind of a spiritual practice can be a cleansing of that. It can give us more discernment. So maybe think for yourself, what is something that links you with that sense of being part of something larger than yourself? It doesn't have to be a classic style of religion. It can be time spent in nature. It can be time spent in deep reflection. It could perhaps be linked with a philosophy like Stoicism. What is your quote unquote spiritual practice? So these are some of the questions that I invite people to ponder when they're trying to better identify what their purpose, their mission, their life's work, what are they here to do? What is your sense of meaning and purpose? Why am I here? Dang it. What am I supposed to do? These are some questions that I have found that in my sessions with clients have been really helpful for them. And frankly, were also helpful for myself in doing this exploration in my life. And if, as you're listening to this, you're thinking, but wait, I'm driving. I can't take notes. It's all good. I'm putting the link for all of the worksheets that these are based off of, and that will be in the show notes. So you'll have a link to the PDF. If you want access to the video recordings and the recording of have the video recording linked with these pages and these questions, you can go into my online community. I'll put the link in there for that. And if you want to, if you want to be able to kind of engage with the material and connect with other people in that online community, I'll put the link for that. And then finally, if you would like to engage with people in real time in a workshop, so live online virtual courses, you can join my meetup group. And I would love, love, love to see you. There's lots of free webinars and free, education sessions that I give. And then there's the occasional workshop that I'll give where I limit the seating. And there's the more recent workshop I'm doing is $35 per seat. So anyway, so I'll put the links for all of those goodies in the show notes. And of course, finally, I almost forgot, if you have questions for me and you don't want to have to navigate all of that, you can always just email me, Leah, L-E-A-H, at thehealthysensitive.com. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye.